Down the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, 804 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I believe Daniel Holgerson's coming in studio with us at 9 o'clock. He'll be hanging out, so we'll talk some college football. I thought that would be good for you. Talk a little college football with the head coach of the Houston Cougars. Lance is still off tomorrow, right?
I believe so. He said his vacation was the 19th through the 26th, so tomorrow's would be the last day he's not here.
At least
during this stretch.
He does vacations weird, but okay. He took 6 days to get like 7 as opposed to 5 days to get 9. I don't know why you do that, but okay.
Maybe the hiking trails weren't open till later in the week.
I saw this. I don't know if you saw this. There was a poll out. Tom Hardy was voted the most difficult actor for Americans to understand. I don't know if there's any question.
Well, the Bane thing wasn't... And then he's in a show called Taboo. And then he's also... Which he has an accent that's difficult. And then he's also in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Where you can barely understand a word he's saying.
Well, you got to have the subtitles on Peaky Blinders anyway.
But he might be the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah. It sounds like it's always coming from through his teeth. It's terrible. Of course he's difficult to understand. Yeah. I don't know what he sounds like normally. I've never heard him in an interview
before.
What's
his character's name?
I know he's Jewish in the show.
He's extremely Jewish in the show.
Well, he's Orthodox, but he does a lot of cruddy stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. No. I could see that. I like Tom Hardy. As an actor, Hardy's going to be in it,
yeah.
You got to watch it.
I mentioned that show Taboo has been on for its second season. Supposed to be. It's an FX show. And it's finally going to show up, but it's been like three or four years now. But
is it a good show?
I like season one. It's one of those shows where you got to be like locked in. It's not like there's all these, he's trying to run a company and settle, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but I liked it. It's just been a long time since it's been on, since 2019. It was renewed 2019 and it hasn't been on.
We'll got to check it out. Got to check out Taboo at some point. Astros win this weekend. Take all five games. Honestly, if they would have gone 3-2, I would have been happy. 2-3, it would have been like, come on, guys. We gotta be, you know what? These were big games and you didn't show up. 1-4, even if they were 0-5, they would be, you know what? They're not going to catch the Yankees. This is an historic season for the Yankees. Oh, well, that's just not going to happen this year. That's okay. The Astros will still have the second best record. You know what? They went through a tough stretch, played a couple of tough teams. Oh, well, nah, 5-0 and just slap, slap, slap. They got a little bit lucky with Martin Maldonado, no question, and they needed it too, by the way. They needed those runs too, by the way, because Seattle was coming back. Framber ran out of gas, but another 17th quality start for Framber, who's dominating the league in that. And now you're just a game and a half behind the Yankees for the best record. Now, will you be facing any of these guys in the postseason? I don't know. Even the two Yankee starts, I doubt you're going to be facing either of those guys in the postseason. Herman, I don't believe. No, I don't think so. I don't think. It'll be Tylon. It'll be Cole and Tylon, and we'll see who they get. By the way, the Yankees are talking about Soto.
I know.
The Yankees are talking about Juan Soto. If the Yankees get Juan Soto, does that change anything?
I mean, they may score one extra run. I'm joking, but how the Astros have treated their bats true. I mean, these games have actually been close. The Astros have just never trailed for the most part. I mean, outside of the two, you know, walk-off stuff. So there's been tension. Yeah, the Juan Soto thing makes them better. But it doesn't scare me. It doesn't.
If they get Juan Soto, do the Astros have to counter?
With another bat?
With a Josh Bell. And especially with the news that Yordan's hand is still bothering him.
He missed yesterday with continued discomfort.
Continued discomfort in that hand. He's going to have to sit Yordan quite a bit. If he does sit Yordan, I mean, there's going to be at-bats. It's not like Aledmys Díaz hasn't been good. He's actually been very good. But if you could add a bat, like, now, Bell's not having a great season. He's not. But he's got some power numbers. And Jordan just continues. Now, he'll come up, but Jordan is having a much better month. But, man, with runners in scoring position, especially with less than two outs, Jordan has been an unbelievable dud this year. I would really like to see them add that bat. Now, here's something that would – what would you think of a Ramon Laureano? A Ramon Laureano can actually – you know, Chaz has hit much better. And truth be told, when Chaz was being sent down, Chaz was probably hitting better than Yuli was. Now, he had to come back right away because Brantley was, you know, went down, and you needed that outfielder. And Chaz has been pretty damn good. He's come up with some clutch hits. He had the homer against the Yankees. He came up with hits this weekend that mattered. Chaz has been pretty good. Pretty good. Ain't going to get it, especially against the top pitching in the league.
Is Ramon Laureano the guy you're looking for this year?
Ramon Laureano is a pain in the ass for the Astros,
yeah,
first of
sure,
all. But he's a proven, and he won't cost you much. I think Ramon Laureano added to this team, and he's a little feisty guy. I like Ramon Laureano.
I mean, Josh,
he's not great.
If Josh Bell's an option, if that's a real one, I would be thrilled. The Josh Bell.
Now, Josh Bell's going to cost you.
Understand, but you're trying to win a World Series, so it probably should hurt a little bit if you're trying to add a significant bat. I wouldn't be if Ramon Laureano. I just throwing the bunch of the Chaz McCormicks of the world. It's like, okay, let's see what he's got. I think Josh Bell, the way he's hitting this year, would be a marked improvement, which is weird considering he's never been this guy before this year.
Yeah, it's hitting. You know, I was just looking at, but they had, there was tiers that the Athletic had on hitters, and Josh Bell was way down there. Despite his 883 OPS this year, he's a career 825 OPS guy. This year, he's, you know, slugging near 500. He's got a 305 average. His strikeouts to walk ratio is pretty good, 55 and 45. He's actually, I don't know why, but they had Josh Bell way down the list as far as tiers of hitters go. I would really like to see, Josh Bell is a threat at the plate every time he comes up. I would really like to see it. It'll be interesting. And, you know, if you can convince him to stay, you know, you've got your first baseman of the future. If he likes it here, maybe he takes a little bit less to win because the Astros win. But how seamless and wonderful would that be, him moving in for Yuli?
Yeah, thank Yuli for all he's accomplished and all he's contributed and go, we're going, I mean, Josh Bell's 29, but we're going younger and at least for this year, much better. It'd be great.
Well, no one knows how old Yuli is. That's a problem.
Well, but he's at least even listed at 38 years old.
Yeah, but no one knows that.
So, but even still, so you think he's younger than his listed age?
No chance.
No, so he's still much older than Josh Bell.
Right.
That's all I mean.
Yeah. No. In fact, at 29, Josh Bell's got good years left.
Yeah.
Right?
He had his all-star season in 2019. And like I said, you said the strikeouts or the strike of the walk thing is actually, you look at his career, really, really good this year, and then the batting average is up. It's a good addition, and it's a guy you can pin in as your first baseman of the future if that's where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's hitting 305 and an 883 OP, and he wasn't an all-star. His measurables are, he's got 51 RBIs. He's on pace for 80-some RBIs. He's got 13 homers on pace for close, you know, somewhere near close to 20.
And he's final year of a, well, he signed a one-year deal in this past offseason, so he'll be an unrestricted free agent. Will that take down the price of going after him?
Yes. And maybe you hope that you can, I don't know why there wasn't such a bigger market for him in the offseason, or maybe he just wanted to stay one more year, whatever the case may be. He stayed in Washington, and maybe you can tell, you know, you can get a nice discount for him, or get a hometown discount for him because he wants to play for a winner. We'll see. 813 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you would like to get in here to hang out with us, talking more Astros baseball. What did you think this weekend about your club? Let's go. 713-780-3776.
Welcome back to the Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Art, would you get off of Pena's arm? Germany Pena's baby arm and his eight hoppers to first is really concerning. It's not concerning. He doesn't have Carlos Correa's arm, that's for sure. But he's playing shortstop. Above average. I mean, he's made some mistakes. He's a rookie. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He just doesn't. We're not going to see that. What was a little concerning to me was Altuve against the Yankees, the way he was lobbing the ball over to first base. It seemed like he was hurt. It seemed like there was something affecting his throwing. And, you know, and turning a double play, he looked like he just threw that. He didn't really throw that as hard as he can. And I was wondering whether or not he had some issue.
Did he give you flashbacks a couple years ago?
But maybe he's aiming it more because he doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. If he throws it as hard as he can, he's afraid he's going to throw it in the dirt. Maybe it's a mental thing. I'm hoping it's a mental thing and not a physical thing. Because if he's hurting, that's worse.
You think?
Yeah.
How long the mental thing lasted for him in that season?
Well, it was in the playoffs, right? Remember, it was in the playoffs that it actually started in the playoffs.
You know, I understand. Physical thing, it means he doesn't play, probably.
Well, physical thing means, you can't overcome it. A mental thing you can at least overcome.
If you overcome it, yeah. Yes, it's something you can actually get over if you do. Yeah, the Jeremy Pena thing, I get it. You're comparing him to one of the most toolsy shortstops.
Yeah, well, guess what? Carlos is gone.
He's not Carlos defensively, but I can't knock anything Pena's done. The ball that got under his glove in the Seattle series hurt, or the Yankee series.
Well, the Yankees game.
Not series. That one was a little shaky. Bregman didn't get it. He didn't get it. But as far as a rookie shortstop stepping in behind Carlos, no complaints.
Oh, my gosh. And I've made the case that he's been the biggest. He has been the most important player on this team this year. Sure, Yordan in the way that he's played. And I guess I said Yordan has been bad. I meant Yuli has been bad with runners in scoring position. Yuli has been awful. I think in the last segment I said Yordan when I certainly meant Yuli, and we were talking about Yuli. But if Jeremy Pena starts out slow, if Jeremy Pena is no good, this team could well have gone, well, look it. That's all we're worried about is money. The Yankees are, look at the start that the Yankees are off to. They're the best team in baseball. They spend all the money. We're being cheap. We can't keep Carlos Correa, a guy we love, who's a clutch, who is our brother in this locker room, and you give us this guy who can't play. I mean, it could have really discouraged the veteran players. But Jeremy Pena comes on in the first week of the season, and he's getting game-winning hits, and he's going the other way, and he's making plays defensively, and you're like, wow, actually, everything is going to be okay. And you know what? He has continued that. He's, in the 260s?
261, yeah.
261?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the 260s. It's not great, but it's damn good enough. He's hitting second. He hits the home run right after Altuve in a back-to-back. I would argue that Jeremy Pena has been the most important position player for this team this year.
Yeah, whether it be the fans or the team, it's a sigh of relief to go, okay, we'll be fine. We're fine here. Another big free agent leaves us in the offseason, and the replacement is just fine. And you know what? 24.
And we look at the money we saved.
Yeah, and you expect them to get better and better. And you know, if the lack of money being paid to Carlos leads to an addition in this trade window that's coming up, and maybe you resign that guy, I think it's you're coming out on the other side positively. I don't know if it will, but the Astros aren't being burdened by saying, oh, we're paying another guy $30+ million a year. We're unable to make a move that'll cost picks and potential salary in the future. Jeremy Pena has been someone that's been the perfect replacement. He's cheap, he plays well.
He's 1/50th of the cost of Carlos. 1/50th. Now, if the Yankees go out and get Soto and you do nothing.
Well, you're looking at someone. You're not looking at someone on the Soto level. You're looking at just another solid
something,
bat.
Yeah. Somebody. I mean, there was talk of Luis Castillo. I don't know if I can trust these. Now, this weekend, it came out that Josh Bell, the Astros are in on Josh Bell. Okay. You know what? Maybe, you know what? That might be a bad thing that these rumors are popping up because the Astros, ooh, Luis Castillo, that would be nice in this role. Ooh, Josh Bell, that would be nice, you know, to get a big bat like that. That would be awesome. And then nothing happens, then you're like, man, you see, let's look at the Yankees do. We get rid of Carlos. We get rid of that $35 million that we were supposed to pay Carlos Correa, and we do nothing. That it could be. Now, this team, I don't know. It might be. Do you want to mess with this? That's another factor.
Yeah, you're playing so well.
Because everybody loves Yuli, right? You don't want to mess with that. We certainly don't want to mess with Maldonado because the guys all love him, and he gets bloop. He gets pop-up singles, which we love, okay, in big situations. He's hitting better a little bit, but the pitchers love to throw to him. He's going to start every game. Corey Lee ain't going to be out there. It's going to be Maldonado starting every game in the postseason. So
we talked about it before on Friday, or maybe it was Thursday, what it would cost to get Luis Castillo. Right now, executives are predicting, according to Bob Nightingale, it would cost a team at least two of its top five prospects and perhaps three of their top 10. The Reds, badly in need of young position players, will have one of the top 10 farm systems after trading Castillo. So if you're wondering what the market will be and what the – I guess the Reds are asking for a Kevin Durant package, I guess. That's something similar.
Well, and whether or not the Astros have it is another story. But listen, I trust the Astros system. I know it's the worst, okay? I know what's his name that he just thinks it's the worst in baseball. All I know is – well, here comes Yordan out of nowhere. Here comes Luis Garcia out of nowhere. Here comes Arcidi out of nowhere. Here comes Framber out of nowhere. Never heard of these guys before. Sure, we heard of Tucker and we heard of Whitley, but you know, look at the Astros system. It was really good then. You know why it was really good is because they had a lot of really good players that you never heard of at the minor league level. Here they come to the big league level and they can play. But Corey Lee comes up. Now, Corey Lee hasn't been great, but Corey Lee has come up here and come up with some big hits already. Yeah. Already he's come up with some big hits. So, had you ever heard of Myers? Had you heard of McCormick? No. And here they are playing, and Myers especially, at the big league level, playing and getting big hits in big situations. So, I'm not sure that I trust these guys with the Astros. And maybe other major league teams are looking at it. The Astros do a pretty good job bringing guys up. Look at the cheap help that the Astros have. They got a lot of cheap help through their own system, guys who are overplaying. I mean, has anybody been more valuable than Kyle Tucker at $700,000 a year? Has anybody been more value than Framber, a better value than Framber has been in early on in his career? Urquidy, Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia finishing third in Rookie of the Year last year. And, you know, you got him on the cheap for 4.5 more years. Goodness gracious, this is going to be awesome. And it's all through the system. So I guess they know what they're doing. Well, whether or not it's totally depleted because of all the trades that you made for Verlander and Greinke, you know, I guess you depleted it. But they got a good eye for talent. That was all Luno that had that eye for talent. So we'll find out whether or not Click does in the near future, whether or not Click, you know. But listen, did you see the home run that Jainer Diaz hit this weekend for the Sugarland Cowboys?
I did not.
Holy, it's the longest home run in Space Cowboys history. Now, I don't know if it's the longest. Skeeter's history. Yeah. I don't know if
Do they have a combined
history? I don't know. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know if it's Oilers / Titans. I don't know that. I don't know if it's Skeeter's / Space Cowboys. But, dude, crushed it. Forget Corey Lee. Jainer Diaz may be the catcher of the future here. This dude can rake. And so they got him in the Miles Straw trade. So that may turn out. I know I hear other shows, Miles Straw, if you still had Miles Straw, really? You still want Miles Straw after what Maton did in the postseason? I'm going to tell you this, Jainer Diaz may be a guy that's going to be here. Hopefully he's going to be a guy that's here for years to come. And you can have Straw for that.
I'm looking at prospect rankings and just went to the Astros, and Diaz is 14th.
14th on their list.
On the list, yes. And this is MLB.com. I'm not sure where they get all – who's ranking them, how – is it a composite? I'm not sure. But Hunter Brown, Corey Lee, Pedro Leon, Force Whitley, still Force Whitley, and Colin Barber are your top five prospects. So if you're looking for Luis Castillo, a couple of those guys in your top 10.
Same again.
Hunter Brown, Corey Lee, Pedro Leon, Forrest Whitley, Colin Barber. Let's go through the top 10 because that's what maybe the Reds would be asking for. Peter Solomon, right? Sean Dubin, Joe Perez, Alex Santos, Tyler Whitaker. So, I mean, a lot of us probably don't know who those guys
are.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys are.
We're talking about Niles, who would probably give us a breakdown.
Niles can break down every single one of them.
So, three of the 10 would probably be gone, and the guy you're high on came in at 14th.
14th?
Yes.
Guess what? I'm telling you this. I think Jhaner Diaz is going to be a guy that is going to be he's going to be a guy to watch in the near future. 713-780 for spring up Drew Gilbert already. Stop already. Defensive war leaders, Jeremy Pena's up there near the top. And now with my human eyes, I'm watching Jeremy Pena. 2022 defensive war leaders, Jeremy Pena is 7th at 1.3. I don't know about that. Okay. I'm not quite so sure about that. Yeah, Jackie, I don't know. I'm watching with my human eyes. He doesn't have that. I'm going to take Carlos all day, and Carlos isn't even on this list.
Yeah, and just to give some perspective as far as you were talking about earlier how the Astros are ranked pretty low. Their top prospect, Hunter Brown, is ranked 83rd as far as top 100 prospects, according to MLB.
Well, yeah, they don't like him because he walks a lot of guys. But you know what? I've seen Fromber walk a lot of guys, too. He's pretty good.
But it's just speaking to he's the only their only prospect in the top 100.
Yeah.
And it has not. It doesn't matter.
It's rating. It's rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where those guys, I don't know where Fromber and Luis Garcia and Urquidy were and Jeremy and Myers. I don't know where all those guys were before they came up, but here they are. Jeremy Pena pulled some hose stuff yesterday with that collision. I didn't think so.
Yeah, there's some complaints about how he should have pulled up or been able to avoid.
He said he looked like he put a little extra mustard on it. And what? I don't know. What?
Called him a hoe?
Lamont?
I've seen the play a couple times. I didn't think anything of it.
I didn't think anything of it at all. So the two guys that were running, and it was a weird play. Somebody said, have you seen a play like that before? Where the shortstop's running all the way across and picks up a ball with his glove, flips it to the first baseman, and then collides. This is the shortstop colliding with the guy at first base. You don't see that too often.
No, I don't know. Yeah. As far as the number of times it's happened, it can't be that
big. No, you don't see that often at all. 829 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any stuff that you want to talk about? What did you think of the weekend? You're more than welcome to get in here and talk to us about that.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgerson's going to come in studio with us and hang out with us for the 9 o'clock hour. Just to hang, just to see, just to talk some football as we get ready for. Are you excited about training camps? Texans quarterbacks have already reported.
Am I excited about the NFL training camp?
Are you excited about Kyle Allen and
who?
What do you mean? Kevin Hogan being ready for getting ready for the season.
Why are you asking me about disappointing college quarterbacks?
They're not disappointing college
guys
quarterbacks.
Guys who weren't as good as
Kevin Hogan was a great quarterback.
He wasn't great. He was fine. He wasn't great.
He was a shot putter.
He handed off and threw lobs to giant wide receivers and tight ends. No, I'm not excited about Kyle and Kevin. I've never been excited about a Kyle and a Kevin before.
You should be excited.
No.
Guys
are they starting anywhere?
No, but I'm excited to see them fighting for the backup job.
Davis, Kyle, and Kevin, that's what you're excited about? what a trio of names.
Davis, Kyle, and Kevin. That's our quarterback room.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's not exactly.
All three have something similar. In fact, Kevin Hogan was the most successful of all of them, two Stanford guys. And what a trio of guys who probably didn't live up to their college potential. Now competing for Texans quarterback spots.
Yeah.
It's not the exact pedigree I would have gone with.
Not exactly. But there's another list out of, it was second-year guys who were going to. And I'm just like, why can't anybody? I mean, second-year guys that are going to excel this year, breakthroughs, and you can't even mention Nobody will even mention Davis Mills.
You got time to look at that.
Trevor Lawrence is obvious, right?
Yeah, that's
top second-year breakout candidates. Number one, Trevor Lawrence. Number two, Christian Barmore.
Okay.
Number three.
He had a pretty good year last year, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's going to be unbelievable, apparently.
I guess.
Elijah Moore. I guess Elijah Moore is going to be awesome.
I guess Zach Wilson's going to be.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
J.C. Horn. He got hurt.
He got hurt, yep.
He got hurt. So, Rashad Bateman. I guess he will because there's who else is he going to throw to? You know?
I don't. Yeah. People, this is a lot of, hey, we really like these guys in year one, and they didn't do well. So, hopefully, our projections of them are correct. So, we're going to try them
right,
one more
because
time.
We were wrong about them in the first
year.
Yeah,
for different reasons. So, we're going to stick with those picks. And, you know, the Davis Mills thing is the same thing. We didn't think of much of him coming in, so let's double down on that, too.
Quiddy Pay. Quiddy Pay was okay last year, and Quiddy Pay is probably going to be, I guess he's going to be a breakout. Sam Cosmi. You see that? How about Sam Cosmi?
Texas X.
How about a Texas, yeah.
Offensive lineman, even.
Yeah. Trey Lance, Kelvin Joseph, and Aleem McNeil. Whoever that is. There is zero chance that anyone will take a chance. And I'm going to tell you this. They're all going to regret not jumping on the Davis Mills bandwagon.
When was that article written? When
just
was it published?
It came out, but Pro Football Focus put it out yesterday, 2 days ago.
So that's interesting for Pro Football Focus because Kelvin Joseph just got cleared of a murder investigation. So did they wait? That's what I was asking about the date. So he got cleared yesterday. So did they wait?
Well, now it's breakout time.
Breakout time. He's not going
out of prison. Is he breaking out of prison?
No, he doesn't have to go.
Oh, he doesn't have to. Good. It's good because he would have been a top candidate for breaking out of prison too.
Yeah. So I was wondering, when did they publish this? Did they get word? Okay, Kelvin Joseph will be able to play, so we can print our publish our article now.
That. It's interesting that Kelvin Joseph is on the list of, you know, guys who are going to break out. But I'm telling you, and then all of a sudden, oh, they're going to go, oh, well, you know what? Davis Mills, I had him. I really thought he was the second best quarterback his rookie year of all of them. And boy, you know what? I'm going to say BS, BS, BS. You're all full of it. You're all full of it. You're all full of it. And the signs are all there. Dude, with my human eyes, and Jackie is now backtracking. You know, I'm like, okay, Jackie, with your human eyes, you'd rather have Jeremy Pena over Carlos Correa? Is this what you want? I'm not going to argue with war. Okay, don't argue with war. I'm going to tell you right here and right now, defensively, give me Carlos Correa over Jeremy Pena any day of the week. And you know what? With my human eyes, give me Davis Mills over Justin Fields. Give it to me this year over Trey Lance, and maybe going forward over Trey Lance. I don't know. We'll see how Trey Lance translates to the NFL.
Yeah, why is Trey Lance on the list and not Davis Mills? I mean, if we're just going, look, I get the Trevor Lawrence stuff. Everyone, generational prospect, Urban Meyer, toxic. All right, Doug Peterson, guy who does well with quarterbacks. All right, you like him, whatever. But there's no reason that Trey Lance should be on that list and not Davis Mills.
Yeah.
There's no logical reason for it.
No. And listen, Davis Mills has more experience now, NFL experience, looked better. We know that he's going to be on the field for sure and playing. Now, Trey Lance has better weapons around him. Trey Lance has a better opportunity to be better. He's got a better defense. You know, Davis Mills has got an uphill battle because he doesn't have those guys that are going to be breaking for. He doesn't have Deebo Samuel. He doesn't. He doesn't have Kyle Shanahan. He doesn't have Kyle Shanahan. He doesn't have Kittle. I mean,
yeah, there are more things to help Trey Lance's progress than there are
Ayuk. He doesn't have any. Yeah, he doesn't have any of that. He doesn't have any of that.
There's just an established way of doing things in San Francisco that has worked, and an offensive system that has worked across multiple quarterbacks and multiple teams. So there's something there, but. I still wouldn't have Trey Lance on the list if you're not going to have Davis Mills on the list. It doesn't make any sense.
No, just get. I mean, and you know what? When Davis Mills plays well, and Davis Mills entrenches himself as the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans, and you don't have to draft a quarterback. Now you can take, with those picks, those high picks that you're going to have, well, your own high pick plus the Browns' high pick. Now all of a sudden, or even if they're not high picks, even if they're middle picks, that's fine and dandy. You're still going to start building up a roster of first-rounders, of good football players, as opposed to the crap that Bill O'Brien left you with. And now all of a sudden you're going to be better because you don't have to draft a quarterback. And now the rebuild is going to take less time because in the third round you got that quarterback instead of wasting a third overall pick on him. And oh, by the way, third overall picks ain't guaranteed. There's a lot. You look at the league right now, the quarterbacks that are playing, we're not top of the top. We're not picked. It's the good quarterbacks that are playing weren't first, second, or third overall picks. When you look at the league, look at Josh Allen, how he's playing. Look at Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. None of these guys were at the very top of, and they're the best young quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, and then you throw in Joe Burrow, and then you. So there's a
yeah.
There are guys who were picked in the top six or seven.
I'm not even going to go to Brady.
Yeah, that's
Russell Wilson.
The younger guys, yeah, all the guys you mentioned, not top, but still first rounders. Davis Mills, as far as in the last couple of years, would be an outlier because generally the guys who have been drafted high have been the ones who have been successful. But I mean, as far as first year guys goes, compared to his rookie class, it's not a real comparison. He was clearly the best quarterback, and it'll just be about people finally allowing what they see to kind of push out what they believed beforehand. And until that happens, you're going to get these things where no one really considers him. It doesn't help that he plays for the Texans.
No, it's absolutely the reason why he's overlooked by everybody. It's absolutely the reason he is overlooked by everybody is because he's a Houston Texan. And nobody believes that the Texans are going to do anything ever.
And why would they have that opinion, John?
Well, because the Texans blow. I mean, there's no question. They have blown. But we'll see in the near future. But if you look at and especially the really, really good ones, Justin Fields was at the top. How's that working out? Trey Lance was at the top. We'll see. Trevor Lawrence was at the top. We'll see. Mac Jones was the best quarterback.
Zach Wilson was at the top.
Zach Wilson was at the top. Jones was the best of them.
And they had a great offensive line and a running game that they could lean on in a defense. They didn't ask Mac Jones to do much. I mean, it was only one game, but the fact that he could throw three passes and they can go win a football game speaks of what the Patriots can do with their game planning and just their system overall. I'm not a huge proponent of Mac Jones, but he is in a really good spot for a young quarterback. The other guys weren't. But he, like you said, as far as first rounders go, he was in the middle of the first round, and they didn't put too much on him, and he was able to do just fine.
Right. Well, I mean, you look around the league and you see – look at the West, not top of the draft guys. The Wilson, Mahomes, Carr, and Herbert.
Herbert was six, so I don't know what do you mean by top of the draft.
Well, I mean, you still got him at six as opposed to one, two, three. Tua was fifth. Dak, one of the best quarterbacks in the league and not taking, obviously, Aaron Rodgers.
Late in the first.
Yeah, Cousins was a fourth rounder. I mean, it's guy after guy after guy. You know what? Lamar not taken high.
Had to be traded. The Ravens had to trade in the first round to get him because he was going to fall out of the first round too.
Right. So, you don't. It doesn't have to be. And, oh, by the way, it's a huge advantage if it's not a guy at the top of the – you get other football players that make a difference at the top of the draft. And you know what? Hopefully the Texans are going to find that out.
Do you have a Davis Mills jersey that you wear?
Nope.
Is it?
But I'm pining for him. I'm rooting for him.
Do you have a jersey on under your Miami shirt on?
I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for the neck. Okay.
I mean, it's you're rooting. You're out there strong, like
damn right I am.
Like you've got stock, or you. Damn he's right a childhood friend. Or
I want to see. I want to see that dude. I want to see him take over.
Did Steffi babysit Davis Mills? That's
why. Deshaun,
what's going on here?
I want to see.
Did your daughter babysit him at some point?
She did not babysit Davis Mills ever. She did not change his diapers ever. Okay.
Give him a little nappy.
Nope. But I'm rooting for him. I want to see him actually be better than Deshaun Watson.
Well.
And it all work out for the best.
I'm sure you will.
For our team.
Yeah, that would help the cause.
846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Godfather. founder of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:51 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come on. Jackie, stop already. War says that Pena's a better shortstop than Carlos.
Stop.
Stop it. War says, war. Do you know what? It's funny. Do you know? So war is really, it's really.
Whoa. I'm not backtracking, dummy. You guys are getting a little. He called you a dummy.
He says ugly things all
That's
the time.
That's a little aggressive.
No, he's not a nice person. He's not a good person.
I'm not backtracking, dummy.
See? He's not a good person. First of all,
you responded with "Bring your nerd S to your mom's basement." Don't bring that here. Here we know better because we're adults who use their brains, not some stupid formula that tries to prove how smart we are. Neither one of you is very nice.
I'm a nice person. I didn't call him a dummy.
Well, you said nerd bleep to his mom's basement.
Well, I think that's where he works out of. So
is that where Raheel visits?
Yeah,
they go to his mom's basement.
Mom fills up the little pool in the backyard.
Okay,
and the two of them jump in and splash around.
That's nice.
Yeah, stop already. Stop. Oh, he gets the more balls than Carlos does. He doesn't. Carlos has great range, and Carlos has a gun. Did you know? I mean, this is how war is. If a ground ball comes to short, Carlos could make a great play in the hole, throw it to Altuve, turn the double play. It's not worth the same in war as Carlos grabbing a ground ball, stepping on second, and throwing to first.
Why?
You get more points for war, I think, because you're making a put out yourself. You as opposed to an assist, you're fielding it, and you get more war. Gratitude if you step on the as opposed to making a wonderful play in the hole and in a huge whatever. War is a bunch of nerd crap. Okay, that's what war is. With your human eyes, Jackie. Okay, you're starting a team. You pay Carlos the same and you pay Pena the same.
Oh, you're asking me, not nerd, not Jackie.
Yeah,
I thought you're still talking to Jackie.
Yeah,
having a fight with Jackie. I would go with Carlos.
Of course you go with Carlos. And you can't, and when there's no measure, that's not in a fantasy land where Pena, and I love Pena. I love that we have Pena, and Pena's taking the place. I think he's the most important player that the Astros have gotten this year. You will never, ever, ever, ever convince me that Pena's a better shortstop defensively than Carlos Correa. Stop. Stop with your war stuff, nerds. With your Jackie nerd stuff. Did Jackie create that? Did he create?
Is he a bigger war? Fan of war than you are of Davis Mills?
I don't know, but it's just,
pretty close. It seems like it.
It's irrational.
You both were saying irrational things about your two favorites.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how dumb people can be sometimes, especially Jackie. You know, I mean, and he doesn't have hair too, by the way. Okay.
At least they're calling him a man.
This must be how people feel when they try to convince Kyrie the earth isn't flat. Stop, Jackie. Stop with your nerd stuff, okay? Go back to your mom's basement and try to redo your war calculations. Please, please redo them because I can't have it. We can't have it on this show anyway. Go back to Payne and Pendergast and tweet them your stupid stuff.
What? Does he go back and forth?
He does.
Okay.
He does, yeah. 8:55, ESPN 97.5. By the way, if people are asking, are you guys going to talk about John Metchie? We did talk about John Metchie earlier in the show. John Metchie, here's what he said. I was recently diagnosed with APL, which is a form of leukemia, the most curable form of leukemia. I'm currently receiving great medical care. I'm in good spirits. I expect to make a recovery at a later point in time. As a result of this diagnosis, I will likely not be playing football this season. My main focus will be on my health and recovery. Thank you in advance for your support and well wishes. I cannot wait to come back stronger than ever. God bless. I'm convinced that John Metchie was taken. The Houston Texans traded up because God wanted John Metchie to be here in the city of Houston with the greatest cancer care in the world.
Yeah, we spoke about it last, hour one and second segment or so, about how this is terrible for the young man. But if we're talking about a spot that could help him the most, it would be this NFL city, Houston. And as far as cancer research and attacking that disease, there isn't a better place in the world, at least in the country, for him to be. So I don't know what the future it pertains for John Metchie. He in that tweet that Texas put out, from his own words, talked about how it's the most curable form of cancer. That makes you feel a little bit better about his situation. But hopefully for him, this is something he fights and gets past. And whatever his life is after, whether it be football or something else, he thrives in it. Because 22 years old and you get hit with that diagnosis, I mean, I talked about it in the first hour. I'm kind of a bleep head now. I'm certainly a bleep head at 22. I'm not sure how I would respond to that.
I can't even imagine. And so a young man like that, you know what? If this is the worst thing that happens, that he has to miss this football season, but he gets better. Awesome. David Questenberry bounced back from it, but he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But he was able to overcome it and get on the football field. It'll be a big day when John Metchie hits that football field for the Houston Texans. You know, wow, that'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. People are going to be rooting for him. All right, 858, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana Holgerson's going to join us here. I think hopefully he's in the building. He's going to be here with us this hour right here on ESPN. We're going to talk University of Houston. If you are a Cougs fan, text your friends, your neighbors. Make sure everybody knows that Dana Holgerson is here, and you can hear the coach if you want to talk to him. 713-780-3776.